Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I just want to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Jack Burton, Sarah Likens, Florence, Shane Legassia, Danielle Sturgeon, David Kilgannon, Rachel Manley, Daniel McCrary, Mark Sutton, Chase T. Hopper, Kate Onyet, Nick Crombie, Josh Harper Cole, Alice Carroll, Lawrence Medina, Doug Warren, Chris, Kirsty Sider, Suki Wan, Aaron Tunney. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 54 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham.
Hamid Salah, Haroon Al-Tahan.
Satcha Rackett.
And Zolf Smith.
I got the name right. After such a long break, I still got the name right, guys.
You got a medal for remembering your own name.
It's been months, and it's a really hard name to remember.
Right.
So yeah, while we've been releasing a little bit of content out in the season break, for us it has been a long time, a very long time. So yeah. We're all glad to be back. Glad to be back in the shoes.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you notice any plot holes, yes.
So that doesn't seem to make sense. No. Forgot all that.
So we're into the thrilling beginning of season two.
Ah, the difficult sophomore album.
Is this whole season going to be about, like, travel lodges and, like, tea and coffee making facilities and, like, a second yacht?
It's mostly going to be disillusionment with the realities of small business. Right. It's going to be a very low-key one, mostly to do with, like, an absence of clients.
Cool. Right,
I love the idea of Bertie as door-to-door salesman. Have you considered you might die? I do now.
Double glazing. It's very good at keeping the noise out.
And the poor.
Yeah.
Anyway, so picking up, obviously a lot has happened. If you haven't already, now is a good time to jump in. We did a season one catch up. If you can't go back and listen to all the episodes, obviously all of the episodes are there. Broadly speaking, you have been tasked with chasing down information regarding the simulacrum, which has a few pieces of information tied to various cities around the globe.
Yep.
As part of that, you ended up in Paris, and as part of your investigation into that simulacrum, you ended up discovering that someone had built an enormous supercomputer.
Of human brains.
Of human brains, beneath Paris, and it turns out that it has been used and been running the majority of organized systems, potentially throughout all of the human world.
Including banks and transport systems.
And all kinds of things.
Logistics, generally.
Basically all logistics.
The internet is down.
Yeah. The internet is down, and the only...
Guys, we killed the internet. I was on the wrong side. I should have thought more carefully.
Yeah.
Just we showed it Kim Kardashian's bottom, and it actually broke.
That was an impressive presentation.
We are picking up, timing-wise, the morning after, as it were. You managed to...
It's a slightly awkward conversation. Breakfast, and then we never see each other.
You did manage to debrief Oscar Wilde regarding everything that happened with Mr. Ceiling. And so you received the instructions to basically return to Latrianth. Okay?
Yeah.
The next morning happens. You all wake up to an incredibly quiet Paris. The noises that you have grown to expect from Paris, from your top-story apartment, where you would be hearing the hawking of wares, but in a kind of tasteful way because you're in an upmarket part of Paris. The fact that you would be hearing the movement of...
hawking into a napkin.
Posh crockery for sale! 40
Fabergé eggs! Fabergé eggs! 2 bob a dozen!
Yes, that.
So, who will buy? Incredibly high.
So there you go, there
child.
You go. You've awoken to a musical number of Who Will Buy in French every day until today.
Yeah. Mm.
There is no musical number. In fact, you don't even hear anyone speaking in a raised voice.
Today's the day the music dies.
So.
Hamid picks up a lobster claw and cracks it, but his heart's not really in it.
You all feel awful. Physically, absolutely spent.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Emotionally rinsed, you feel atrocious. And breakfast arrived late. It was not what you were expecting. The fact that it arrived late, very shoddy.
Was there no lobster then?
There was lobster. In fact, it looks like they gave you slightly more lobster than normal.
Huh. What, than 4 dire lobsters?
Yeah, bearing in mind these lobsters are like the size of stocks.
To be blunt, one of the valets came up, and while Hamid was obviously sat for breakfast, mentioned that they're going to need to be eating a lot of the perishables and so on due to some ongoing issues, so you basically have free rein on anything that could go off.
And have we any messages for us in the night?
The valet takes a moment and then reaches in as if he's forgotten and passes you an envelope.
Thank you.
It just says, the Rangers, we're still, etc.
Looks like Wilde's been in contact then. Open it up.
Inside is just stay put, full stop.
Any parcels? Mm. Any packages? Mm.
You say in flawless French, unaware that you are doing so.
Yep.
Again, in what you presume is English. No, nothing particular, I'm afraid. Just the message. If there's anything that we can get for you.
Wait. Your English really has picked up, hasn't it? Well done.
No,
good for you.
You're speaking
Bertie,
French,
what?
Bertie.
What? When did you learn French?
I haven't learned French. Filthy language. Horrible. Sorry.
You're just
speaking French,
Bertie. Right, I can't understand anything you're saying.
You're speaking French, Bertie.
Which was an amazingly apt thing to say, given the conversation you don't understand.
But I'm not speaking French. I'm speaking English right now.
No, you're not.
No,
that's
you're
French.
Not. You're speaking French.
English words.
No.
That's French.
Yeah, you're...
The valet sort of backs away slowly. Clearly he stumbled onto something he just isn't paid enough to deal with, and then leaves.
I'm sorry, am I just not in the room?
I'll turn around. Bertie's speaking French.
I got that, because he's speaking French.
We're just telling him that he's speaking
French. In French, he can speak English.
Well, just we really very wise. And I probably just picked it up from the streets. I just soak information in like a sponge.
Is he speaking? Yeah. So he has to be able to control
when
it,
you
right?
Swapped back to speaking to Zolf,
yeah.
You swapped back into English.
And I didn't prepare comprehend language today. What a day.
Can I just check, Bertie? I'm going to switch to Czech.
Okay.
Do you understand me when I'm speaking this language, Bertie?
What you hear is, blah, 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 foreign, blah, blah, foreign, blah.
What?
I'll take that as a no, then. I say in English. So it hasn't extended to all languages. You don't suddenly just have a permanent language spell or something.
I am, of course, educated in classical Latin and Greek, and I speak history's noblest language, English. Pure fusion of the romantic essence of Latin with the stern Teutonism of the Germanic Saxon tribes.
Bertie, shut up, not in the mood.
Sasha,
I'm going to go have breakfast. You work this out.
Sasha has been signing, because of course she speaks sign language,
yep.
Insults at Bertie with questions at the end.
Give me a perception check, Bertie.
13.
Sasha is clearly overjoyed at your newfound linguistic skill and is doing you a little dance.
Thank you. Yes, Bertie attempts to like follow up and like match her movements. And like, yeah.
So it's actually just a massive slagging off contest. Yeah.
Bertie has just has accepted that he is a fool, a liar, and a coward. Who is mean to dogs, even horrible dogs.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He has no idea.
And he did it all with a really bad accent as well.
Sit at the table and passes off the jam.
Thank you.
What does the note say?
Stay put.
Sasha is continuing to sign all the different things that Bertie smells of.
Are any of them good?
No.
One of them is Lynx Africa.
The worst smell.
Literally just an African lynx in this universe. they very rarely wash.
They're quite musky.
They are quite musky. Yeah.
Does anyone have any plans for the rest of this day apart from just recuperating?
I will probably spend a lot of time staring at those legs.
Mm-hmm. I draft a letter to my parents and then screw it up and burn it.
Uh-huh.
But using prestidigitation, like, with a British Gas flick of the thumb.
And repeat.
Yep.
He can't use prestidigitation for that because that's a specific thing called spark.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I think you're fine.
Oh, well, actually, I think you're correct.
But as I have a lighter, I can use prestidigitation to hide it while it's in my hand and make it look like I'm doing it.
Yes, you can.
I'm so glad we had this little talk. Bertie has got a couple of fancy bits of treasure that he wants to fence.
Okay, how do you go about doing so?
He walks out into the streets of Paris with his fancy loot, and he goes...
Loot for sale!
Loot for sale! Buy a loot! No, he doesn't.
I will go with him.
Yeah. We're off shopping. So we go to the fanciest quarters.
Okay, I will return to you in a second. Sasha?
Sasha is not going to fence the legs. She's going to leave them where she sees Zolf staring at them, and she's going to go and hang out with the gargoyles on the roof.
Okay.
The ones that have eaten people.
Yes.
In a friendly way.
Yay.
I will jump to first the pair of you wandering around Paris. So, heading out into Paris, it's very, very quiet. You see at least on just the street that you are on, three mechanical men paused mid-stride, and at least one carriage, an automated carriage, that has been pulled up badly to the side and looks like it's been dragged to the side of the road.
Look at it, street theatre. Now, these three gentlemen here are just going to stand very still.
Bertie just stares.
I stare at Bertie. My eyebrows slowly raise.
You know, they're really very good.
You see that... What?
I sigh loudly.
A good 5 minutes goes past. Bertie's just entranced.
So sad. I don't know how they do it.
What once was a street comprising of a lot of horseless carriages has a lot of them drawn up to the side, and the only things that are currently moving are horse-drawn. So you see a couple of tourist trap hansom carriages. One person has a cart and they're moving some produce. There's almost no one on the streets, and it's just eerily quiet. Presumably you head towards what you will have passed as a market at some point.
I will suggest we head towards the district which manufactures the clockwork men. We've seen a lot of them in Paris.
Yeah.
There will be places where you can purchase them as servants, and that will be the place which is most interested in this mechanical
arm. Mechanical arm, and it's an adamantine?
It's partially...
Scalpel. There's a scalpel.
Oh,
an adamantine.
Yes. He has an adamantine scalpel, yes.
Yeah, adamantine scalpel.
Can both of you give me knowledge local?
Is that use untrained?
Just roll and tell me the number.
16.
Okay.
14.
Okay. So, you don't get lost, but it does take you a while to find what you are looking for. Whilst you are wandering around without particular speed or impetus, we will jump back to the gargoyles. Unless you open conversation, they scooch over just a little bit to make you some space and sit there perfectly quietly. Not hostile, just comfortable silence.
Yep, no, we'll sit there in silence with the gargoyles.
Paris has a certain charm to it now that all of the noise has died down. You're hearing a lot more bird song. From your vantage point, you can see that the streets are almost empty. There are a few groups of people at basically street corners, and there'll be a group of people, and then one will run off and talk to another group. It's just quiet. It's like it's a very, very tired Sunday afternoon, even though it's currently a weekday. Returning back to Habonid and Bertie, you eventually manage to find yourselves on the shops that sell basically luxury items. All of them are closed for business, and a couple of people have said that there's been some kind of issue and that they're just not able to deal with people today and that they should probably come back tomorrow. A lot of staff have apparently not turned up and things like that.
I suppose that makes sense. I suggest we just do come back tomorrow or even maybe the day after, Bertie. I don't think this is going to be able to be done quickly in the current climate.
It's quite the nuisance. Perhaps we could talk to maybe one of the manufacturers rather than retail. Selling these fascinating distinctive items.
I suppose we could ask where we might find the suppliers, get some directions.
Again, skipping ahead, I'll use the original knowledge local you had. You find out that the majority of manufacturing is not actually done in the city. It's done outside of the city, and then they are shipped in because of the amount of space required to do so.
Yeah.
And again, they are sold as luxury items. They're not sort of churned out and churned out. It's not like a Terminator-esque like manufacturing facility or anything. They're mostly bespoke items.
Yeah, clockwork dying industries. No. Fine, very well, we shall return to Latrion.
Okay, you return. The majority of the day has gone because it's taken a bit of traipsing around because there was little in the way of transport and the only handsome carriage was in high demand and not able for you to make use of. You return back, all of you, evening rocks up. Anyone want to do anything before heading in for the bed?
I'm in the bathroom having filled the sink with water, just kind of head on the side staring at it intently.
I'll give Zulf a reassuring friendly pat on the shoulder and leave him to it.
Yeah. React.
Setra is going to write a letter to Beaming Gusset. No, a postcard. She's going to write a postcard, and it's going to vaguely say, work is going well, I'm very busy.
Sure.
It's interesting seeing new cities. I hope the shop is doing well.
That is a charisma minus one.
I love the idea that every time you write a word, it's I, ... think, ... So you head out to send it?
Yep, just put it in a postbox.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, one thing. Bertie is going to... just realised this is on my inventory. He's got a copy of When Passions Collide.
Yes.
So he's going to read that.
Okay. Give me a wisdom check.
Minus one. 19 minus one is 18.
It's a darn sight better than all those classics you were forced to word.
Really boring, yeah.
So-called classics.
Is this the same author as...
This has got pace. None of that war, like, lasting years. That's not war being done properly.
Big wooden horse nonsense.
Yeah, this
roll a perception check.
Yeah, go for it.
A 22.
He's only got the next one and you haven't got a copy.
Sidelock. What are you reading there, Bertie?
This When Passions Collide, Mr. Smith. Now, this is truly excellent. A fabulous work of literature. Strongly drawn characters. Fascinating moral message. A surprising number of fascinating legal implications. If you read between the lines...
Oh, no. It's fine. Wouldn't be able to maybe borrow it after you're done?
Oh, Mr. Smith, of course you may. This is a work of literature that should be shared widely. Such firm moral principles. So fascinating. Rich tapestry of human nature bared forth before the reader.
Is that the only thing that's bared forth?
Oh, I haven't finished it yet, but I mean, there's a bit of...
Hammond could not be rolling his eyes harder in the background if he tried.
So, you all head to sleep. All of you give me will saves.
Goodness.
The best save.
Oh, hang on a minute. Yeah. I need to... Yes, plus two to will saves. Good. That is a 26.
So 26 for Zolf.
Seven
for Sasha.
20.
20 for Hamid.
11 for Bertie.
11 for Bertie. Sasha.
Yep.
You have atrocious nightmares, mostly to do with Brock and permutations of you're in the machine, he's in the machine, Brock out of the machine, but it's Mr. Seedling. It's just a hellscape in your mind.
Sounds perfectly normal, given the circumstances.
Bertie, you happen to have a dream where you are back in the reality that Mr. Seedling produced, and it's definitely real. And you believe it right up until you wake up, have a look around, and it takes you about 10 minutes after waking up to realise that even though you're in Latrionf, Paris is different outside, and it's not the wonderful cheering crowds outside. Everything is wonderful, Bertie. So this is mostly the disappointment for you. Both Zulf and Hamid, no problems.
What a fiddlesticking nuisance.
What do you do?
Sasha gets up early. She looks to see if there is any breakfast out.
There is not. Okay. There's an apologetic valet, but...
She just walks out of the hotel and keeps walking. And is just wandering in the vague direction of Eiffel's Folly.
So, I will stick with you for now. Heading out, It's a very different experience from what Hamid and Bertie had. There are quite a large number of people out. The streets aren't bustling with activity. They're mostly people who are kind of moving without as much in the way of intent and direction. But you see there's quite a lot of people who are quite upset. There's a couple of people who are having arguments outside of things. At one point you see someone steal something from a street stall, mm-hmm. and then a couple of guards chase them down.
While they're distracted, mm-hmm. she takes a bun.
Okay, give me a stealth check.
Ooh, a one.
You reach out to basically nab something whilst mm-hmm. the guards are distracted. One of them happens to turn around to just check on the stall as they're mm-hmm. leaving, yells to the other one. They think it's a coordinated thing. Yep. They both run back towards you rather than him.
Ooh.
As you are processing that, uh-huh. someone else in the crowd moves forward and takes something. Then another person takes something. Suddenly, about 20 people are all pushing and pulling one another and just taking stuff from that stall. The stall holder is obviously very, very upset. They, stop it, please, everyone stop it. And they're all just taking what they can, and then the crowd start dispersing.
It's all gone a bit Kaiser Chiefs.
Your critical fail has started a food riot.
Yes. Yeah.
It's only a minor one. And
more of a food ruckus.
Once the stall's empty, everyone disperses. Yeah.
Do I need to roll to see if I get away?
How would you like to escape?
The natural thing for Sasha previous to this would be for her to slip through the crowd, but she's not feeling particularly hinged. Not quite to unhinged, but the hinge is creaking. So it'll be more acrobatics-y.
You easily escape. Mm. The guards are too occupied. They run up, see the crowd, see you, and then just, this is more than I can deal with. I'm one guard and there's 30 people who've just robbed someone. I can't deal with this, so they just let you go. Jumping back to the rest of the party, are any of you doing anything for the rest of the day?
Bertie still has a pile of jewels from his side quest that he would like to...
Are you heading out to try and hock
them? He's going to try and head out and hock his jewels.
Okay. Are you going out in full armour?
Yes.
Okay. As you are heading around and looking to hock your jewels, you see the same thing that Sasha was seeing. Lots of closed stores, a lot of people, a couple of fights breaking out, a guard will run over and separate them, a lot of very upset people. And you notice, again, that all of the stores that you would sell the things at are closed. And also, someone you realise is tailing you. They are following you and Hamid. Give me a perception check, both of you.
Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I rolled a 3, so still higher than Bertie, obviously. 12.
12? Yeah, you both see that you are being followed. Hamid, you see that there is a second person as well who is walking on the far side of the street. They're not appear well-armed, they're extremely nondescript. They're just wearing standard sort of civilian casual attire. They're not particularly noticeable in any way. The only reason you have is that you've taken a few turnings and you see they're following you.
I'm going to tap Bertie on the arm.
What?
Just to make sure I have his attention.
Yep.
And then I'm going to walk confidently towards one of the people I think is following us.
He immediately backs away and heads off. The other one, who was following you see walks past both of you, and then snatches a bag from a woman in front of you and runs off.
Stop! Thief! Bertie runs off in pursuit, draws his sword.
Yeah, I cast Sleep.
What's the DC?
15.
15. The thief, mid-stride, collapses to the floor asleep, bag in hand.
Our criminal class is fundamentally lazy.
Bertie, don't kill him and don't say that!
Well, all right, I'll compromise. I won't kill him. Can't shove the words back in my mouth, can I?
The woman runs up, takes the bag from him, gives him a good kicking.
See, she can!
Looks to you both scared. She's worried and just flees. She just runs off.
Well, there's gratitude for you.
He's only going to be asleep for a few minutes. Let's make sure he's not armed and let's take him back to the hotel room and find out why he's following us.
Very well. Bertie frisks
him down.
By frisking, you mean holds him upside down and shakes him until all the bits fall out.
So your intent is to take him back to the hotel?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we will deal with that in a couple of minutes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan, and I'm here to talk to you today about a wonderful investment opportunity with us, the London Rangers. We're still working on the name. Anyway, we think we do a lot of good, and we hope you think so too. You wouldn't believe the amount of expenses there are for an adventuring company. I mean, Sasha just gets through tons of daggers, and Bertie goes through armour polish like, well, maybe he's eating it. Anyway, if you would like to send a few gold coins our way, you can do that by going to www.patreon.com/rustyquill or by following the links on our website. If you donate $2, $5 or $10 a month, you'll get exclusive news and behind-the-scenes info, early access to ad-free episodes, shout-outs at the start of our shows, and bonus content for the campaign and other stuff like that. Any support you can offer will be really appreciated by the whole gang, and I'm sure we'll live long enough to spend it. Thanks, and we hope to see you again really soon.
And welcome back. So you bring this person back. They come to on the way and immediately begin sort of begging for you to let them go. You realise they're quite young. They're late teens, and they just keep begging for you to let them go. They don't struggle. They just beg.
I'm going to try and reassure this person. Just calm down. We're going to just talk to you and also give you some food.
Bertie's playing bad cop.
he shuts up when he hears the word that you're going to give him some food.
It won't be very good. It'll be awful. It'll be like the soup will be thin and it'll have like bits in it. And you won't like it, the textures.
It'll be the wrong peanut butter.
It'll be the wrong. Yeah, exactly. What Sasha's voice in my head said just then. Oh, you didn't hear it? Fine! Well, maybe I can beat some sense into you raising his hand.
Speaking of Sasha, we will jump back. You were heading towards Eiffel's Folly in a sort of vague.
Yeah. It is an interesting area. There may be people that she can involve in a gambling game, perhaps.
As you are approaching, you start encountering, again, a few more people. You start entering the lower income districts, and the situation seems distinctly worse. There are a lot more people out on the street. There is a lot more unrest, and you reach a point where there's just a line of guards, and they refuse to let you any closer.
Is there a way for me to climb up the building and down the other side?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just give me a general climb check.
20.
20?
Not a natural 20, 14.
That's fine. You successfully find an alley, shimmy up a drain pipe, across a rooftop, back down. The guards are doing a very poor job, but you get the impression that they are stretched amazingly thin rather than that they are incompetent as such.
There are only like 3 people on a wide street or something like that. Okay.
On the far side of it, there are a lot less people, mainly because the place seems to be in lockdown. Give me a perception check.
That's 19.
19? To your practiced eye, there is definitely something going down. It's not some pitched battle or anything like that. But you see there is the fence surrounding Eiffel's Folly. There's a lot of people near the fencing, guards facing inwards and people on the other side of the fencing pointing out. However, you see that a couple of guards to your practiced eye are being taken away, clearly injured. And you see, as you're looking, a manhole cover come up on the far side of the fence. A couple of people come out, drop the manhole cover, go off into the city. You see something similar happening where a couple of people are hopping over the fence. It's clear that there is definitely something going on here.
So people are trying to escape.
People seem to be trying to bail on Eiffel's Folly, and the guards are maintaining it mostly at this stage, but it's all coming apart a bit.
She will go over to one of the manhole covers, and if she can grab one of those people, she will ask them what's going on in a guttery French.
Sure.
So
you manage to grab someone who literally pokes their head up after the others. Immediately to yours, they just yell down the equivalent. Again, it's in French. Scarver! Scarver!
No, I'm not trying to catch you.
It's fine, mate. Oh, God. Give me a diplomacy check.
Yep. Ooh, I think my diplomacy is -1, but I rolled a 16, so 15.
15? Well, Arpia, you have succeeded, so you are tactful enough, but you don't have to worry about deliberately fluffing it. Gosh, I'm sorry. Look, it's fine. I'll go back. I'm sorry. You don't have to ring me in. It's fine. Honestly, it's fine.
I'm over from other London. Came on a job. All these things that are going down, everything's falling apart. I don't have anyone to contact. I don't have a boss, so I was wondering, you know, if people had information. Can I help you? What's wrong?
That's a London accent, isn't it? just you need to leave. You need to get out now. It's all going to fall apart. Gorman's on the warpath. We got to go. Okay, just let me go. Please, just let me go.
No, I'll let you go. Is there anyone needs help in there? Because I would recognise that is the head of the gang who was supplying the brains.
It's hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. It's maybe 100 guards and hundreds of people on the far side of the fence.
Trying to get out.
Yeah, so he's just there going, be my guest, but honestly, like, you just want to get out. The city's going to go up, you can tell. Please, just let me go.
Yeah, like, you can...
He starts jogging off and looking back, and sort of looking back and going, you want to get out of here? And just runs off into the city. A guard has seen you from the fence and has started yelling to the others, pointing at you, and it's the equivalent of, oi! Yeah. Oi, what are you doing there? How'd you get out there? And start jogging over to you.
Say something in English. Oh, no, what? I'm a tourist, innit? So we were looking for, you know, information, and tourists.
They are running over, and they are not believing any of this. They're just like, all right, come on, come here. Right. They're running over, and so it's very clear they're going
to
grab you.
She's going to run away. She's going to run back to La Triomphe, or at least in that direction.
Okay.
Running.
Jumping back to La Triomphe. Bertie and Hamid, you re-enter the room.
Shall I do a perception check?
Give me a perception check.
That's 20.
You are very aware of them entering the room, so you know that they are in the apartment. You have walked past the... Valets tried to assumed that you were arresting the gentleman in question because he was still over Bertie's shoulder. But after you had a brief word with the head valet, they just let you up and were like, okay, that's fine. We'll see what we can send up. So yeah, you have entered the apartment.
Look, just sit down there and some food will be brought up for you and then we're just going to have a chat, okay? Nothing to worry about.
I hope you're slightly uncomfortable.
Hi, Bertie, you're back earlier than I thought you'd be.
So...
Give me perception checks, Hamid and Zolf. Hamid and Bertie, sorry.
Ooh. 11.
18.
18?
Yeah.
Hamid, something's up with Zolf. Bertie, that's a face you've only ever seen on people you've just yelled at.
Ah, Mr. Smith.
What?
You've got some tributes to Poseidon just running down your face there.
I don't know what you mean. I've just... Who's that?
Oh, this young man. Oh, yes. He's a new friend of ours, a friend of the criminal fraternity. This mastermind villain, this criminal genius, this Moriarty of crime has been out purse-snatching.
Why have you brought a pickpocket back?
It looked like he was...
You've got to pick a pickpocket or two, Mr. Smith. Otherwise, what a holiday's for.
It looked like he was following us, and I wondered why.
Maybe because, you know, the big idiot in shiny armour looked like an easy mark.
And then I thought maybe he might need some food.
Right. Okay. You're going to start a soup kitchen?
Maybe. Things are pretty bad out there.
Yeah, well...
I know they're not great in here either. I try and give you a subtle, sympathetic look. May or may not work.
Just stonewalled.
Yeah.
Jump back to Sasha. How does Sasha intend to escape?
She hops down the manhole cover that's just been open and then runs down it.
Okay, one sec. They don't even bother heading down after you once they see you jump down. They have enough problems to deal with. Yeah. You see them close the manhole cover and you hear the movement of something up there.
Oh dear.
You are already long gone, however. Mm-hmm. You find only, say, 60 feet along, another manhole cover that you can come out of, and on the way you are finding yourself shoulder to shoulder with a few more people who are fleeing from...
Yeah, I'm like, no, there's guards down there, you can't go down this hole.
They give you a panic nod and run off to a different direction. It's very easy for you to find a way out because of a flow of people via the sewer, and they're coming up pretty much every manhole cover that they can.
Yep.
So it's very easy for you to just make your way back and then come up on a manhole cover on the far side of the enclosed perimeter.
Yep. And listening in on everything that everyone is trying to say.
Give me a perception check.
23.
No specifics, just Lagomon seems to be making a move or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot of people panicked just asking after other people and they're just fleeing. And the second they get up onto the city, they all just head into their separate ways and disappear into the crowds very, very quickly.
Okay. When she comes up, she will start heading towards the left.
Okay. So heading back, you see that there are people are still lingering out. So unlike the other nights where people stayed at home, there are people on the streets. They are starting to sort of light a few fires and stay gathered around them. And you head back and come into the room with Bertie, Hamid and Zolf, mm-hmm. with an incredibly scared-looking person who's quite young, sat in front of a finished plate. You've all managed to eat. A plate of steaming food was brought up to you. It was good. It was really, really good quality. But it was a plate of food rather than an elaborate, massive buffet brought up just for yourselves.
Bertie is going to question the young man. There has been more than enough good cop. So Bertie's going to question him properly. I suspect maybe a sense motive check?
Yes.
19 minus 1 is 18.
He thought you were an easy mark. It became apparent that you weren't, so he went for the next easy mark. They needed some cash, basically, because things are going a bit dodgy and the price of everything has gone up by about 10 times overnight.
Well, that's enormously disappointing.
I don't really have much. Here, I can give you this. And he starts passing over like a wallet, but there's nothing in it.
No, don't even bother.
I'm going to let him go. I'm not going to take anything from him.
He's really, really thankful. And you enter just as Hamid is telling him that.
All right, what's all this? What's all this? Who's your new mate?
Just someone we met on the streets. Things are getting pretty bad out there, it seems.
Yeah, I know. So, mate, talking to the guy, what do you know of La Gourmand?
His eyes sort of open up and he goes, me, nothing.
No? You don't know what's going on down around Eiffel's Folly?
I'd never go near there. No, God, no.
Never?
It's bad news. Oh, not that I know anything.
Yeah? Right, well, it seems like you picked up a pretty low class of criminal. He doesn't even know what's going on in the criminal districts.
Unless this is an elaborate bluff. A mastermind of deception. Look at the veils of secrecy. The mystery unpeels itself like an onion stripping.
I don't think he knows anything. I don't think he is a criminal. I don't think there's anything complicated to it. I think it's probably what we expected. But we had to make sure there wasn't anything else.
Everyone give me a perception check.
14.
15.
20.
22.
Look at you all hitting your perception checks, even Bertie.
I'm doing so well.
You hear the sounds of boisterous, almost aggressive cheering outside on the street.
Look outside.
A huge crowd of people are starting to tip all of the automated carriages over. Sort of people are yelling and a few people are cheering. It's very, very clear that a lot of people are very angry and are just tipping the carriages one after another.
The city's a powder keg, it's only going to get worse.
Yep, well, you know that'll happen.
There's people stuck, trapped around Eiffel's Folly, and the guy that sold all the brains is hunting them down, and the guards are keeping them trapped in there with them. This is, you know, this is stuff that we've done, and it's our responsibility.
What are we going to do about it?
Well, I was going to go there and try and help as many people get out as possible. And
slay La Gourmand. A noble quest.
How do...
Rescuing people or trying to make it so the guards will let them out.
We don't know if that's the right thing to do, though.
Well, I know that I see a lot of people running away from something where they're going to get hurt.
But if the guards are trying to keep order, I mean, they might not be, but...
They're not. They're trying to keep people that they don't like
in
one space. Because I was there. I went down. I went down into the tunnels. And also, I know what police do, right? Right? They don't... They're not trying to protect. They're trying to keep people separate.
Police tip their hats and salute respectfully.
To some people.
No, but
and
look,
others, they keep trapped.
All of you give me another perception check.
7.
Mm.
14.
21.
Hamid, you notice that there is something moving outside of the windows on multiple sides of the apartment.
A tentacle monster!
However, no one else has seen this, so return as you were, but Hamid, you are aware of this.
The city's going to explode in a riot. If we change anything, we might just set it off. Like, last time we tried to help, this happened.
I'm going to let our captive go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna,
he immediately scarpers. He can't get out of there.
I'm going to let them continue to argue, but I'm going to check at the windows and look out.
The gargoyles are climbing down the side of the building off the roof.
I don't understand the significance of that.
Okay.
So I won't comment upon it.
That's fine.
Fine. I'm going back.
What are you going to do?
I might just
slay
help.
An evildoer. Are you with me, young lady?
I'm just going to see if I can help some people not get hurt.
I'm going to see if I can help one specific person get hurt.
What if by helping those people, more people get hurt?
Well, that's
that
what
plays right into my original plan there, really, doesn't it? Bertie's kind of off on his own. I kind of vaguely thinking everyone's talking to him, but not really interacting.
I'm talking to him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, sometimes that happens, Zolf.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you knock out most of the world's logistics.
Sometimes
and
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham happens.
Of course,
I like
just
that.
Sometimes you make a terrible, terrible decision. And sometimes, I don't know, millions of people might die because of what you've done.
It doesn't mean it was wrong.
But do you not get what we've done? Do you not get that? Do you not understand how important what we've just
of course just, I do. It doesn't mean it was wrong.
But does it make it right?
Important.
It doesn't make it right.
Just because it was bad right now doesn't mean it's not better in the long run.
How do we know that?
Everyone give me a perception check.
No, 19 minus 1 is 18.
Bertie is on fire!
But what? I may only just noticed this.
19 plus 9 is 28.
9 plus 9 is 18.
And 22.
Whoa! Jeez.
We notice everything.
There has been a distinct change in the quality of the cries coming out from the streets. It's mostly changing to panic and a few yells. And there is the distinct sound of some kind of conflict.
Right, well, people are getting hurt. What you could be doing is healing people. What I could be doing is going around trying to find people that might be on fire or something and putting them out. Or like we could be doing useful stuff. The thing is, right, Zolf, all of this was already there, right? There was a machine that was controlling the world. It was holding people in its control. It was selling their brains. It was slaughtering people. It was slaughtering real people.
No, it wasn't. It actually wasn't.
It wasn't
doing that. No. Le Gourmand was doing that because criminals exist. Criminals like Gourmand and Barrett always exist. They're always going to exist. Murder's going to happen. People are just going to die. They're just going to keep dying. The computer wasn't actually doing that. It was supplied brains. Were you listening to it? We spent a week with it and you didn't listen to it. It wasn't evil. It had some bad ideas, but it wasn't. It was.
Yeah, and it was controlled by evil people.
No,
it wasn't controlled by anyone.
Its very existence was evil, Zolf.
Brilliant. Right, so we're now in a post-evil computer world. Brilliant. Let's let the riots happen. We can't stop any of this. We've done something, and we can't get out of it. It's done. That ship has sailed. The horse has bolted. It's gone.
Perhaps we should work together to set up a distributed system of labour in order to kind of build up the economy once again from scratch. I shall be Minister for Transport, because I like horses. What would you like? I see you as being a good shadow secretary of transport, you know, because you're stealthy. I like that. And
Bertie goes off on a reverie thinking about transport.
It was a completely amoral machine with no understanding of what was truly best for humanity. And it was built on dead people. And you are the one who told me that the very energy running in its veins was necromantic, and that is what made it evil.
Did we fully understand the ramifications of what we have done? Do you look out the window? Did you know that was going to happen?
Is there any decision in your life you fully understood the ramifications of? That's not how people live, Zolf. We did what we thought was right, and I still think it was right, and I will not let you change that just by looking at the outcome.
Us, four people, have affected the lives of probably everybody in the world. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing most of the time. I can't see into the future. But usually, my decisions don't affect millions of people.
Zolf, Oscar Wilde sent Bertie down to us in the depths of that machine. You know what? This decision has involved a lot more. The system involves a lot more people than you think.
You're not as
powerful as you think you are.
It's not. I don't think I'm powerful. I think I'm powerless. I can't do anything about this. I can't fix the mistakes that I've made. I can't walk. I can't get out. I can't get out and heal people because I need help to get down the stairs.
We can fix all of that, Zolf. We've got money.
Can we? No, money doesn't fix. Fine. Go on. Just try and fix it. See how well you do. You, on your own, fix it.
There is a tentative knock at the door. A very tentative knock at the door.
Well,
it's the knock of someone who doesn't want to be heard.
What?
Entrez vous.
The door very hesitantly opens, revealing the concierge. He is equal parts kind of regretting his decision, but realising it's bad etiquette to, at this point, leave.
Ah, entre two.
He sort of steps in and goes, sorry to hear if there's anything...
Spit it out!
I just wanted to say, if there's anything that we can do for you, sir, obviously we've deployed the gargoyles and I believe the crowd has dissipated. If there's anything that we can do for you, I apologise. We heard the raised voices and obviously it's a very stressful time and we can arrange for some kind of entertainment or we could arrange for some extra food to be brought
up. We don't need any of that, thank you. Just leave us alone.
But that's it. If you do know any dancing boys, then perhaps understand.
Party!
During what? This time, I will just wheel myself into my room and slam the door.
The valet just apologetically closes the door.
It's a tough time for him. His body's going through a lot of changes.
I didn't hear that. He wouldn't have heard that. Yeah. I'm too busy being, like, angry.
Yeah. So, does anyone do anything else for the rest of the evening?
Yeah, Sasha heads out. She is obviously more of a weapon-y type person than a helpy, bandagey, happy person, but is going to go out and just be vaguely vigilante-esque.
But he totally comes with her. Like,
no, he might go
out. He attempts to come with her. Yeah. Fighting crime. Mm. Yeah. Two lone swordsmen. Yes, out we go.
And if he's saying that while walking behind her down
bold
the corridor.
Bold crusaders.
And she'll be like, yeah, lone. So that, if you want a definition, Bertie, it's, maybe you should look that
fighting
up.
Fighting crime and disorder. Back to back, yes.
While he's talking.
We will say that whilst you were heading through the foyer, the concierge very politely advises you to definitely not go outside because there's reports of all kinds of horribleness happening outside.
Yep.
You see, shoulder to shoulder with one another, all of the gargoyles are currently stood at the very bottom of the steps to Latrion, and they are much taller than you gave them credit for once they are down on the ground and stood. Again, perfectly stationary. They almost look like statues until one reaches up and scratches a nose, only to return it. They're like 8 foot each, shoulder to shoulder. And the concierge, again, obviously tries to convince you not to go out. I assume you ignore it.
Yeah, ignore. And if they're back shoulder to shoulder, so it's hard to get either way.
Oh, they part for Sasha.
Yeah, they'll, but the tiniest gap so that she can slide through.
They part for Sasha and immediately don't part for Bertie unless...
You know, these people pretending to be statues, it's really very impressive. I don't know how they do it.
One of the gargoyles looks to you and raises a glacial eyebrow and tilts her head incredibly slowly towards Bertie.
Let him out in 5 minutes.
So, I think we will wrap up there with Sasha running off into the night, with Bertie waiting, watching, quote, street performers, unquote. Zolf.
I've gone in to play loud rock music in my room.
And Hamid, what are you doing?
Sitting at the door of Zolf's room, leaning against it, with my eyeliner running down my face in my tears.
Also, as a denim actually, Zolf is definitely playing New Wave.
Oh!
Water pun.
So that was the start of season two, an incredibly downer opening.
Just like the end of season one!
Woo, downers!
But listen to Rustic Will Gaming!
Woo.
Sadness.
Hopefully you'll all be back for the next episode, but until then, bye guys!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
I bet you can't say that three times fast.
I can't even say it once.
Impressive prestidigitation, impressive prestidigitation, impressive prestidigitation.
Not everything is a challenge, James.
Wrong! Challenge accepted.
So, you have all awoken,
so much of this podcast I'd forgotten. So much of it is just us laughing at ourselves. And Alex attempting to cut that out. People are like, how much of the recording do you lose? Just a lot.
Two thirds.
Just us laughing at ourselves, and Alex tries to make it seem decent.
We've lost Lynn. She's gone.